You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
The following message was presented by Dr. Wallace Schultz on the Lutheran Hour. It's titled, Search No More. And now here is Dr. Schultz.
What will they dream up next? Newsweek magazine reports that there is now a computer that you can use to change your family photographs. By using this machine, you can remake or retouch the photographs from your own camera. You can make yourself look shorter or taller, fatter or thinner. Newsweek magazine then also explains, and I'm now quoting, that by using this new computer, divorcees can now eradicate or remove their previous partners from old family photographs and replace the old spouse with a new husband or wife. Oh, if life itself were only that easy. Now, this new technology may surprise us and even shock us. However, these new inventions reflect the intense desire of so many today who are trying to change their marital status or their physical appearance or their family finances in order to find more meaning in life. Others try to buy clothes or cars or toys or technology to give life meaning. And still others become a workaholic, hoping that by constantly working, this will satisfy their deepest needs in life. One Texas listener to our program wrote, "The problem lies within me. I am so restless." Many of you who are listening today can probably identify at least a little bit with this feeling. You wish there would be more satisfaction, more fulfillment, and more meaning in your life. You work hard. You try to do the very best that you can, and yet you feel there's got to be more to life than you are now experiencing. In the Bible, John chapter 4, we read about a woman who was in the very same dilemma, except she didn't really know it. This woman did not know what she was missing. This woman, the Bible says, had arrived at a well to draw water in order to quench her thirst. And when she arrived, Jesus was sitting there by the well. And soon, of course, there began a conversation. Now, Jesus did not tell this woman that she was not thirsty. Jesus did, however, explain to this woman that her greatest thirst was not a thirst of her body, but a thirst of her soul. And since this is such a fundamental teaching in the Bible, directed to all of us today, let's listen briefly to this moving story. Jesus, the Bible explains, had come to a city in Samaria called Sychar. And after his hours of travel, Jesus was weary. So he sat down by the well. And then, according to the Bible, a local Samaritan woman came along. And as she prepared to draw water from the well, Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." This Samaritan woman was surprised, or it might be better to say she was totally shocked. You see, the Bible says that Jews had no dealings with the Samaritans. And so this Samaritan woman said to Jesus, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask me, a Samaritan, for a drink?" Jesus answered, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." Then Jesus continued, "Everyone who drinks of this water shall thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. For the water that I shall give him shall become in him a well of water springing up to eternal life." Now, when Jesus offered the woman a special water to truly satisfy her thirsting soul, Jesus was not introducing some totally new idea. You see, throughout the Old Testament, the longing for fellowship with God and salvation is often pictured as hunger and thirst. Isaiah writes, "Oh, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters." The prophet Amos proclaims, "Behold, days are coming, declares the Lord God, when I will send a famine on the land, not a famine for bread or a thirst for water, but rather for hearing the words of the Lord. The psalmist speaks also of the water of life when he says, "My soul thirsts for God, for the living God." And again the psalmist says, "O God, thou art my God, I shall seek thee earnestly. My soul thirsts for thee, my flesh yearns for thee, in a dry and weary land where there is no water." And again in speaking about those who trust in the Lord, Isaiah says, "They will not hunger or thirst, neither will the scorching heat or the sun strike them down. For the Lord who has compassion on them will lead them and will guide them to springs of water." And so when Jesus was speaking to the Samaritan woman at the well, he was explaining some very basic biblical truths that are applicable also today. This story is an answer for the anguish and the emptiness that so many millions today are feeling. This true story of Jesus and the Samaritan woman gives hope to those who now feel that there has to be more to life. Yes, the answer that Jesus gave the Samaritan woman is the answer for the deepest needs of those countless thousands today who are burdened under the weight of their past sins and failures. The water that Jesus offers is the water of total forgiveness and the water of the blessed hope of life eternal. This is also what Isaiah was speaking about when he said, "Come now, and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are scarlet, they will be as white as snow. And though they are red like crimson, they will be like wool." And so then, how tragic it is when so many people today miss this forgiveness and this eternal water of life. You see, the devil often convinces us that our only real needs are those desires dealing with our bodies. Yet God tells us in His holy word that our deepest and most persistent hunger and our most important thirst is really coming from deep within our souls. And so when you and I receive from Jesus the living water, then life becomes totally different. Christ has the power to give meaning to this life and hope in the hour of death. And so the challenge that Christ is offering you today of asking you to readjust the priorities and to spiritually refocus your life and to be more concerned with the thirst of your soul than the endless wants of your body, this great challenge may also demand that you totally change your present lifestyle. And this could mean a very radical readjustment, and this may be very inconvenient and, yes, even very uncomfortable. Just like an alcoholic who, in order to recover, first needs to get away from the booze in the bottle, maybe you also, in order to recover from your endless feelings of meaninglessness and your constant yearning for fulfillment through materialism, and in order for you to flee your addiction to secularism, you will first need to understand that neither plastic nor pearls, neither cars nor caviar, neither flashy diamonds nor new dresses can ever satisfy the deepest needs and the endless thirsts of your soul. Oh, listen, my friend, to the words of your Savior Jesus when He says, "Whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall become in him a well of water springing up to eternal life." Oh, indeed, this is a powerful and compelling offer. God is offering you, my friend, today, light instead of darkness, direction instead of aimlessness, purpose instead of meaninglessness, forgiveness for the future instead of guilt of the past, and hope to replace your feelings of helplessness. And now that God, through His Spirit, has initiated this offer to both help and enable you, the next step, my friend, is yours. If you sincerely desire to drink of that water that will forever satisfy the spiritual thirst of your soul, then you must first acknowledge in prayer to God that you have been going down the wrong road of life. You have been searching for answers and seeking fulfillment in that which is so often here today and gone tomorrow. And so by the enabling grace and the mercy of God and by the power of God's Spirit, resolve today at this very moment that through the power of Christ, your days of meaninglessness will be over. And so then also as you launch forth into a new start in life, let's be sure to understand one key biblical teaching very clearly. Your change in life from days of no direction to a new existence and purpose will not be brought about by either your power or your ability. This change from darkness to life and this transformation from guilt to forgiveness and peace can be accomplished only by God. And the tool that God has chosen to accomplish this change in you is His eternal and living Word. The Bible tells us that God's Word is living and active. God's powerful and eternal Word not only cuts out the cancer of sin, guilt, and shame over our past failures, but it also causes new life and growth within you. And so to cleanse your past and to prepare your future, enabled by God's Spirit, you must set forth a reasonable and a practical plan for your life. Here is a suggestion. If you are not now attending a church where the messages from the pulpit and the teachings in the Bible class are all based upon the Bible, then make some immediate plans to find such a church. Look in the Yellow Pages, check your local newspaper, and then along with your family, attend one of these churches. And when you feel that you have found such a church where you can worship regularly, then ask to speak to the pastor. Very kindly, very courteously, and very graciously, but also very directly, ask the pastor to explain exactly what his church teaches and what he himself believes about the Bible and about Jesus Christ. Ask him also to give you their statement of faith. You see, this is all very important because if you plan by the grace and the power of God to build your future upon a solid foundation, then the bricks of this foundation must be the eternal and living Word of God, and not the transient and temporal words and the vain philosophies of men. And hopefully also in this church or fellowship, where you and your family will be finding a new lease on life, make sure that Christ is always at the center. Make sure that the death and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ is proclaimed clearly and regularly. The good news of God's holy gospel, when taught in the church and proclaimed from every pulpit, must always be that He, Jesus, was delivered up because of our transgressions and was raised again for our justification. The Apostle Paul also says it beautifully when he writes, "I delivered unto you that which is of first importance, what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He was raised again on the third day, according to the Scriptures." And so then, what Jesus Christ has done for you is good news. In fact, it is the greatest news in the whole world, that Jesus Christ died to save you from your sins, and that now Jesus is offering you this total forgiveness, this water of eternal life. And that is also why it is so very important for all of us to remember the story of Jesus and the Samaritan woman at the well. Jesus radically changed this woman's thinking. And just as Jesus so graciously did this for this lady, Jesus is ready to take your thinking about life and lovingly turn it around. The need for God and the need for His forgiveness can only be quenched by the water of life, the forgiveness of God. The water of life is this forgiveness for all of your sins, which Jesus Christ earned for you when He died on the cross and rose again. The Bible tells us that when we are united by faith to Jesus Christ, we will then never thirst again spiritually. Jesus said, "Whoever drinks of this water that I shall give him shall never thirst." And so, as you hear this promise of Jesus, of the living water, you may find this good news just a little bit too good to be true. And yet, as you ponder God's gracious offer to help you in your life, always remember that this Jesus who is making you this offer is not just some salesman. This Jesus who is offering you help and hope, not only for this life, but also for the life to come, also raised the dead. Oh, believe in Jesus today, my friend, and let your belief be more than mere mental assent or additional head knowledge. Let your belief be fed and nourished every day with the perfect forgiveness of God. This will happen when you begin reading God's life-giving Word. And then let the joy of your new life in Christ be filled increasingly with hope as you become more and more a part of a church or a Christ-centered fellowship where sinners like yourself can find the regular assurance of total forgiveness of your sins and the water of life. Oh yes, this is the blessing that Jesus promised. that after you drink this water, you will never thirst again. May this promise of the crucified and resurrected Christ become a reality for you today. Amen.
Thanks for listening. We pray you've been blessed by hearing this message. This has been a presentation of Lutheran Hour Ministries.